700 Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning.
Good morning and welcome from Redding, California. I'm Henry Cuenca from KCNR 1460, and I welcome you to my show about passion. I'm pinching in for Trudy Pratt, and thank her for this airspace that she makes available to me. The focus of my show is interviewing guests who hold and live passions. These gifts or talents we receive then manifest and are demonstrated in countless ways. We want people who live for a cause with a compelling sense of purpose. While maintaining interest in what people do, my true passion and curiosity is understanding why things are done. In other words, what is the fuel driving internal senses that produce vigorous, steadfast, worthy pursuits? In many cases, passions and purposes are driven quietly, subtly, and unseen, but yet significant impact to others and society as a whole. This is what my show is all about. I welcome you all. We have three wonderful guests, local people, and I know that you're going to enjoy our show. And I want to introduce our three guests, and I'd like to introduce Dr. Mike Figueroa.
Good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. I know that you have a lot of very, very interesting things to tell us.
Yeah.
We're accompanied also by Mike's wife, Debbie. Debbie Figueroa, thank you. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
And I also have a very, very, very close family member, and his name is John Moran. He's very entwined with this relationship, and we're going to be bringing all this together.
Good morning.
John, good morning. We're going to be talking about some things that are extremely compelling and very fascinating. I've really pondered what is the right words that we can describe, I can describe, of some of the information we're going to be talking about. And personally, I think that they're miracles. And so I'm going to let you decide after you hear some of the wonderful compassion stories that we have. And so we're going to be covering some things with Dr. Figueroa meeting Mother Teresa about a miraculous miracle happening here at Mercy Hospital. And we're going to take a look in the soul of Debbie, who's a very compassionate person that has donated and has many driving compassions and has made a donation of her kidney to guess who? John Moran. And so we have just some very, very interesting tales and stories to convey to you. I'd like to just start, Mike, by asking you if you could tell us a little bit about your background.
I was raised in Southern California and had a very happy childhood. I can't make any real complaints about that. Early on in my life, I wanted to be a physician, and I pursued that. And by the grace of God and with the help of my wife, we succeeded in doing that. Mm-hmm. This is what we do every day.
And you say you had a smooth life, and I know that your father was a Marine Corps drill instructor. Does that still hold true?
Well, yes, my father was a Marine Corps drill instructor, and people think that a Marine Corps DI is a tough, very regimented gentleman, and he was. But in the end, though, he was a very loving man. But he taught me and my brothers and sisters, how to get things done, how to. If you get knocked down, you get up and you have goals and you have pride in yourself and you take care of yourself and you move along. And those lessons really helped me in, you know, getting through medical school.
Well, we want to hear more about that. Mm-hmm. And we also want to hear about Think Pink, which is a worldwide iconic situation. As soon as we come back from our break, again, this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
MD Imaging has been there on numerous occasions for all three of my kids. The care that I've received at MD Imaging has always been wonderful. They treated my family and I very respectfully. They took a lot of worry out of situations we've been in. I had an appointment in particular with one of my kids where he had to have a procedure that I could not be with him. And they were very accommodating and put my mind at ease and let me actually be in an area where they let me watch the procedure so that I could know he was okay. And they explain the situation. They explain exactly what they're going to do, what you have to go through. As a mom, that was a big deal because it was a scary situation.
Celebrating 60 years of service, MD Imaging brings together technology and compassion to gain life-saving knowledge about your health.
Thank you for being there for my family.
MD Imaging. Trust.
If you're concerned about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, then join Elizabeth and Aaron on Sunday mornings for We the People, 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our expert guests cover everything from private property rights to how our local government can impact your life. Don't miss out on the wealth of knowledge on We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party.
Welcome back. If you missed, we have three guests, Dr. Mike Figueroa and his wife Debbie and John Moran. And we were about to ask Dr. Figueroa as to how he ended up in Redding, California, from Southern California, before we asked him about the Think Pink situation.
Yeah. Well, you know, that itself is a little bit of a miracle. I was finishing my training in at Scripps Clinic in San Diego. It's in La Jolla. And one day I'm driving to work and my car breaks down. And I happen to have a phone nearby and I call my wife, come pick me up. And while I'm waiting, I'm just thinking, I need a job someplace else. I don't want to live in San Diego. It's too big. It's not good for the kids. We need something better. And I remember just saying a little prayer. You know, Mother of Mary, you know, intercede for me here. You know, I need a job. Deb picks me up, drops me off at the hospital. I walk in and there's this note on my desk that says there's this place in Northern California looking for an oncologist. You know, so I called and this guy tells me he's in Northern California and I say, you mean like San Francisco? He goes, no, Northern California. There's a whole other state. I send him my CV. He sends me some tickets and the next thing I know, Deb and I are on a plane, and it turns out to be, you know, Mercy Medical Center. And you know, my grandmother told me once as a kid, if the sisters ask you to do something, you never say no. And they were asking for an oncologist, and it just worked out perfect.
Well, but, wonderful. Know,
there's a prayer answered within minutes.
Fast action, for yeah. Sure. Yeah. My wife and I were in Puerto Rico here last week, and we just couldn't help noticing, just driving in the area, of all the billboard signs with Think Pink. And I know all of us turning on the TV see basketball games and tournaments and playoffs, and the Think Pink theme, the logo, is everywhere. I'm not sure whether I've seen it in European countries, but I know that you have some attachment to that as it started here in Redding. Could you tell us that story?
Well, I've already forgotten how many years ago it was. It's something like 13, 14 years ago. We decided we wanted to do something, you know, special for breast cancer awareness. I was on the board at the American Cancer Society at that time. I remember talking to my wife that morning. You know, we need an idea. We got to do something. We need a theme. And I think Deb was the one who told me that, you know, well, what about Think Pink? And to be truthful, I thought, well, that doesn't sounds kind of corny. I don't know. You know, I don't know. So I just kept it to myself. We go to this meeting and we talk about what we're going to do. And somebody else says, well, why don't we call it Think Pink? You know, so
just randomly?
I didn't mention this independently. So wow. Think pink. So I thought, well, I just better shut up because, you know, obviously these ladies like the Think Pink idea. Mm-hmm. So we decided we were going to have a day and we were going to send out some information. And then it just got going. And we met in front of MD Imaging. There was 500 bags, and I didn't think we could ever give away 500 bags. I thought maybe 100. You know, these ladies are just, you know, thinking way too far ahead. By 10 o'clock in the morning, all 500 bags were gone, and it was a hit. It was kind of funny because we did it without asking permission from the city of Reading. You know, mm-hmm. We just did it. The next year, we actually dotted the I's and crossed the T's, and we've done it by the grace.
Well, it certainly has swept the world, right? I'm pretty sure that I have seen it in European venues.
Yeah, there are cities in Europe who actually have their annual Think Pink fundraising.
Remarkable. Yeah. Well, Debbie, you seem to figure into this whole situation quite prominently. Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, let's see. We've been married 32 years, so that's a very big part of my life. We have 4 children. And they range in ages from almost 27 down to 8 years old. And I've had the privilege and honor and really the luxury of being a mom at home for many of those years. I think I quit working after the second child.
And you're originally from where?
I was born and raised in Reno, Nevada. Mm-hmm. So that's where I met Mike.
Can you tell us how you met Mike?
Let me think.
Go ahead, Deb. Tell us how you met me.
I, at that time, worked for the state of Nevada, worked at the Division of Mental Hygiene, and Mike was looking for a job. He came in to my office looking for summer work as a camp counselor for retarded children, and that is how we met. I was there at the entry. He came in, and we just sparked a conversation, and
so the lights went off, and the buzzer started going. Or
well, yeah, she's not giving you all the details because about a few days before, the guy who was going to hire me calls me and says, "You got to come and interview. And by the way, there's this really cute little girl working down here." So I said, "Well, I'll be there right away." You know? And it was a very long corridor that you walk through. And I opened the doors. I walked down this corridor, and there's this. I can't even see what she looks like. She's all the way down the end of this very long building. And truthfully, she doesn't believe me to this day, but I tell you right now, the little voice in my head said, "This is the girl you're going to marry." And I believed it, and it worked out.
Well, you have a wireless to heaven, I can tell you.
No, I'm hearing voices all the time.
Very interesting. John, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, your background?
I also come from San Diego. I was raised there. I decided to leave when I was 18. I joined the California Conservation Corps and moved to San Pedro, which is by Long Beach. And I got to travel all over the state and went to the backcountry program in 83, and which is working on trails out in Sequoia National Park. And then I went to Stockton after that and then to Auburn, California. And then I ended up living in Barstow down in the desert in Southern California. And came up to Reading to visit some friends, and on the way back, I heard his voice saying, "You're moving to Reading." And I said, "No, I'm not."
You guys have the same wireless.
Same God.
I said, "No," and he said, "You're moving to Reading." And I said, by the time I got to Barstow, I said, "Well, I guess I'm moving to Reading." So I moved here in January of 87 and have been here since.
And what type of work are you in?
I'm a landscaper.
Oh, really?
Been a landscaper for, I don't know, 20 years. Been a contractor since 96, so... Mm-hmm. Do a lot of work around here, been all over the town, and I've done lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, I know that you had a meeting with, you met Mother Teresa,
mm-hmm.
and I know that we'd like to hear about that.
Well, I'll try and give you the bridge story, because it can go pretty long. I have 30 seconds. Okay.
And I think that we'll hold that till after the break.
Okay.
And we also have some very compassionate things to hear about Debbie. This is a woman that is profoundly compassionate and is driven by some pretty high passions that she has, and we're going to come back and we're going to hear about these passions and also hear about Mike's story of meeting Mother Teresa. Again, this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta, Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Redding restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Redding to find our website.
Human success is produced not so much by great pieces of good fortune that seldom happen, as by little advantages that occur every day. Ben Franklin was a wise man. Great wisdom cannot be ignored. Five Star Bank wants to be your hardworking partner in success. In today's changing landscape, Five Star Bank understands that emerging businesses need those little advantages on a daily basis. Five Star Bank knows that businesses need to create new markets and established businesses need to stay competitive. Whether you're looking for a banking partner to help you build your business, your real estate portfolio, or tackle that addition on your home, look to Five Star Bank. Five Star Bank is ready to partner with you to acquire, develop, and finance property. Yes, good things can happen. Smart people doing good business. Visit us, 358 Hartnell in Redding, or call us at 223-6652. On the web at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Fancy is as fancy does. Village Maps of America presents An Evening with Merle Haggard, An Elegant Affair, May 5th, 2011, at the historic Red Bluff State Theater. This amazing opera house will carry the legendary country singer's voice to new heights. This show is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Be sure to get your tickets now. A live auction will precede the Merle Haggard Show. Get your tickets in Reading at Tobacco and Brew or Enjoy Magazine, or in Red Bluff at Crossroads Feed and Supply or Sparrow Fine Arts. See you there, and remember, fancy is as fancy does.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Welcome back. We're interviewing Dr. Mike Figueroa, his wife Debbie, and John Moran. And we were about to ask Dr. Figueroa about the time that he met Mother Teresa. So, Mike, can you tell us about that?
Sure, and it can be a long story, so I'll try and make it short, though, but to give you the important things. I was in my fellowship at Scripps Clinic, and we were doing research on a disease called Gaucher disease. And we actually happened to discover the enzyme that treats this disease. And it's a disease that primarily affects kids, and they get big livers and spleens and bones, and in some cases it actually affects the brain. There's a type 1 and a type 2, and the enzyme that we had isolated truly treated type 1 patients. So one day I get a call from this gentleman from Peru, and they give me the phone because I'm the only fellow that speaks Spanish. And I talk to him, and he describes his child to him, and he has a 1.5, 2-year-old son who has Gaucher's, and it was clearly the type 1, not the type 2. So I told him, you know, don't bother coming to Scripps because we have nothing to offer. The drug doesn't work for your child, and I'm so sorry, you know. And we hung up. A couple of weeks later, my boss, Dr. Boitler, God rest his soul, great man, calls me in and says, hey, I got a call from Peru. There's a kid down there. I said, yeah, I spoke to the man. And he says, well, kid has type 1. And I said, yes, he does. And he goes, but the man works for the Bank of Peru. And the Bank of Peru likes this father, and they want to help him out, and they're going to pay for the whole thing. So he's coming for the consult. So a few weeks later, the man shows up, and there he is with his wife and his 2-year-old son, actually maybe 1.5 years old, and had a 5-year-old daughter who fortunately was not affected by this disease. Anyway, at the very end, the child does have Gaucher's, and it's a type 1, and we're telling them that, you know, we're so sorry, but the therapy we have discovered is not going to work, and the poor child, you know, he's going to pass away. So Dr. Boitler leaves, and he's asking me to kind of bring all the loose ends together, and they're going to go back home. Well, just then the nurse walks in, and she says, are they Catholic? You know, and she's asking because most Gaucher patients are Jewish. It's a gene that runs through the Jewish population, And so I said to the nurse, yes, they actually are Catholic. And I said, why do you ask? And she says, well, Mother Teresa is in the next room. Okay. And Mother Teresa had been our patient about 2 months before. She had had pneumonia and a small heart attack. And
so
care of her. Right. And she had come back for a chest x-ray, but they had to kind of hide her because everybody wanted to be with Mother Teresa. So they were hiding her in this room until the x-ray department kind of cleared out. So she says, I told Mother Teresa about this baby, and she wants to see the baby. You know, so I tell the parents, and the parents said, well, gosh, of course. So, you know, they take the child and the parents into the next room. I step out in the hallway, you know, just to give them some privacy, and I'm kind of waiting for their meeting to get done. And the nurse comes out and says, she says, you got to come in. And I said, no, you know, let them have their private time. She says, no, you got to come in because Mother Teresa doesn't speak Spanish. You know, I thought she was like the Pope. You know, they all speak, you know, 8, 9, 10 languages. You know, so I had the privilege of walking in, meeting Mother Teresa. I got to stand next to her. She's holding this baby, and then she starts praying. And that woman can pray. And you know, the nurse is in tears. The security guard's in tears. The mother and the father are in tears. I had this lump in my throat that just it was painful as can be, and I just kept trying to just keep speaking, keep interpreting. And it was just the most wonderful thing. Wow. And just as she was finishing handing the baby back, the security guard gets the message, it's time to go, and, you know, and they rolled her off. But that was my moment, you know, Interpreting for Mother Teresa. But, you know, the thing was, is just, you know, speaking of miracles, you know. I mean, weeks before I told this father, don't come. Right. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. We have nothing to offer here at Scripps Clinic, you know. And here's his baby who was going to pass away within months, maybe a year, who is now held by a future saint, who was prayed over by a future saint. You know.
How did the child do?
You know, I don't know. I never had the guts to go to look it up anymore, but I suspect he passed away. Uh-huh. But the lesson for me was that, you know, ever since then, I've never told another patient that I never had anything to offer. Wow. We always have something to offer.
What a lesson. Very interesting. Debbie Figueroa here, I'm going to tell you that Debbie contributed to the life of John here, as Debbie donated her kidney in a very compassionate way to help John as he was facing a very negative outlook in the end of his life. And before we get into that story, you know, I'd kind of like to know how all of you met. We have different parts, but how did all this come together? How did you all meet, and what were the circumstances?
Well, my wife has always told me that it's a waste of time to sit in the irrigation shop or the parts shop chatting with guys at the desk instead of going out and working. Well, sometimes you don't have a lot to do, so you go sit with people and talk with the guys. And so I was in the irrigation store, sitting there. This guy walks in and says, I have these two big accounts I want to get rid of. I'm a concrete guy, and I don't have really have time for the landscape. So he asks the guy behind the desk, do you know anybody who does good work that I can refer to? And he says, well, John's sitting right here. And so he said, well, one of these accounts is kind of a pain in the rear, and one account's the people are really nice.
I wonder
nice.
Who that is.
No, and the people are really nice. So I didn't keep the one who was a pain in the rear for very long, but I've had the Figueroas as clients for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. And so just by chance sitting in the shop, I got referred a landscape job. And so I've been doing their work ever since, and started taking care of their lawn and their landscape needs.
So you've maintained this relationship for all that time. Debbie, what can you tell us about the first time that you met John?
Well, I agree with John's story. That's accurate. Right before John came to us, our landscaper had put in a whole new yard for us, and he, after a period of time, decided to quit. And so he said, but I'll find you, you know, someone. So he brought John, actually. He physically brought John to our door, mm-hmm. and we sat down and chatted.
About
that
work?
That morning, about work. Mm-hmm. And, he told me about what he would do for us and you know, his standards and so forth. Mm-hmm. So that's how we came to meet.
I guess the next question is going to be the discovery of the fact that John was in need of a kidney, and number two, how this translated back to you for so graciously giving up a organ of your body. And we're going to get to that answer when we get back after this break.
Hi, I'm Amy Rogers. I'm a certified massage therapist with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I've worked with a broad spectrum of clients that have a variety of needs. I like to help people get rid of their physical pain so they can enjoy their lives. You can find me at Dr. Trudy Pratt's office at 244-7873. Most insurance is accepted. Number again is 244-7873. Let this be the year that you care for yourself.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Tickets are now on sale for the 5-time Tony Award-winning Music Man, performed by Shasta High School's Outstanding Music Department. This beloved family musical will be held May 4th through May 7th and May 12th through May 14th at the beautifully restored David Marr Theater at 2200 Eureka Way in Reading. All performances begin at 7 p.m. Tickets may be purchased at the Cascade box office by calling 530-243-8877 or online at cascadetheater.org. All performances begin at 7 p.m. That's Music Man, presented by Shasta High School.
Welcome back to Dr. Prudy Pratt's Perfectly Healthy, and I'm pinch hitting for Trudy, and we have our guests here, the Figueroas and John Moran, and we were asking Debbie how the idea of John needing a kidney and your willingness to offer his to him. How did that all start?
Well, you have to know me to understand that I'm a very spontaneous, non-routine kind of person. And, I kind of thrive on spontaneity, I guess. And it's rather a long story, but after knowing that John needed a kidney, I just, there was no question in my mind that I would offer to do everything I could to pursue, testing or whatever it took to find out if I could be a donor.
How long after you met John did you find out that John had this medical condition?
Ooh, well, he had it for quite a long time. He had the condition for years before he actually addressed it.
Well, yeah, it started in 2000 by doing my DMV physical
and
test.
I think we met in 2001, as far as I can think back about,
So, John, how long were you working for the Figueroas when you this knowledge manifested about your kidney?
Well, we knew something was going on in 2000, and I didn't have the money or the insurance to pursue it, so I just kind of let it go until 2005 when I broke my back. And I was able to qualify for Medi-Cal, so the doctor who had was taking care of me at the beginning, he actually was the critical care guy who saw me in the hospital with the broken back deal. So he said, "Hey, let's get you a kidney biopsy and see what it really is."
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, and said you're gonna have about 5 to 6 years as it gradually goes down, and it actually went down about a year and a half later, and the kidneys failed in November of 06. So I think I had known the Figueroas for probably 4 or 5 years before the kidneys actually failed. Mm-hmm. And they actually failed when I was in their yard, and Mike came home and said, "You're looking bad, dude. You better go to the hospital." So, and at that time, Debbie was saying, "Hey, anything I can do to help?" I'm like, "No, I don't think so." Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready to jump that hurdle. I didn't want to deal with it at all.
And Debbie, at that moment, had you already pre-thought that you would be willing to give up your kidney for John?
Actually, it was the night of his renal failure. Mike and I happened to be at a conference in San Francisco, and it was just a big, long night. We knew John was in the hospital with kidney failure, and I heard Mike back and forth with John and with John's doctor. And, you know, I could just tell from the conversation that this was a really serious life-threatening thing, and I just told Mike that night I would do everything I could to see if I could donate a kidney.
And Mike, how did you weigh in on this whole decision?
Well, in this whole relationship, my role has simply been to be Deb's spouse. I tried not to be the physician to any great degree, you know, my role was to be supportive. You know, this is what she wanted to do. See, Deb hasn't told you about the boss she had when she was first hired right out of high school. That's an interesting thing you need to share, Deb.
She had
a friend.
And also have to explain, the reason I chuckled just now is that I really never asked Mike if he would support me through giving a kidney.
No, you made an independent decision.
I just do things. I don't.
Yet again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So when I was 17, 18 maybe, working for the state of Nevada, I worked for a psychologist who actually gave a kidney to her sister. And, you know, at that time, it made an impact on me. And, you know, years went by, and I guess I didn't really think about it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. What kind of impact did it make on you back then?
Well, she had invited me out for coffee, which I thought was really very strange because she was an administrator and I was a receptionist secretary, and I thought, you know, this is really strange to have my boss ask me out for coffee. And so we walked down to little local, you know, coffee shop down the street, and she broke the news to me what she was about to do, and I just, you know, at the time I just was kind of at a loss as to why is she telling me this. Mm-hmm. And
why did she tell you?
You know, that's a good question. Other than
she just wanted to share with you.
Yeah, I mean, there's an office.
Maybe she just wanted to play
the
speed.
There's an office of 50 other people.
Yeah, interesting.
And yet, you know, she took me to coffee.
Randomly plant a seed with you.
And
John, when you found yourself in such a difficult spot, facing a shortened livelihood, and you go through all the internal thinking about things as to how this is going to happen, what your options are, so forth, and other constraints, and when the reality is that when Debbie and I'm going to include Mike, came to you or made it known to you that Debbie was willing to give up something of hers so that you could live, what impact did that have on you?
I said, no, thank you.
He did. For 2 years, he told me no.
Why did you say that?
It's too big of a deal. It's too huge. I said, no. I mean, when my kidneys were going out, I told my wife, I said, when my kidneys fail, I'm not going to get dialysis. I'm not going to get a transplant. It's just going to be done. And she said, well, you can't leave me alone with five kids. I said, well, we'll see. So when the kidneys fail, you get plugged in, you do the dialysis, you do what you got to do to survive. So for the first 4 months, I was pretty depressed, didn't want to deal with it. And she's offering to help. And I said, I'm not ready to cross that bridge yet. So I knew there was help there to be offered, but I wasn't really willing to.
So you really didn't have a long-term strategy of this situation.
No.
You were just going to go down in flames.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. Interesting. So, Mike, what was your thought as all this was going on?
Well, I thought that was rather interesting.
like a bystander, huh?
No, yeah, but I see lots of patients, and I see this a lot, you know, on a daily basis. And there's a lot of dynamics that has to occur with you know, husbands and wives and children and friends. And I just had a feeling in my gut that this was all going to work out eventually. You know, John didn't want to have anything at first, and now he was getting dialysis, and then that was a good step. Mm-hmm. And Deb kept looking into how we would pull this off if you know.
So she championed the whole situation.
Oh yeah, she made the phone call. She talked to the doctors, and she did all that.
It's time for a break, and we're going to come back and continue our discussion. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Orchard Nutrition Center. For 30 years, our family-owned business has been Redding's premier choice for health foods, produce, bulk foods, and the best nutritional supplements. We pride ourselves on offering many locally produced foods. Our products are good for you and easy on your pocketbook. Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust in the Cypress Shopping Center, open every day, 8 to 9.
You've seen all the amazing products on TV. Now find them all in one place. The As Seen on TV store next to Dairy Queen on Churn Creek. If it slices, dices, chops, cooks, cleans, grills, drills, or fixes, they've got it. Just about anything that gets you in shape or simply makes your life a little easier. Over 1,000 As Seen on TV products all in one place. But wait, there's more. No waiting for delivery, no shipping and handling. Take it home today at the As Seen on TV store next to Dairy Queen on Churn Creek Road.
Hello, Melinda Brown here for People of Progress with a great way to help yourself while you help your community. It's simple. Buy just one shirt or a book or even a knickknack from People of Progress's Super Thrift Shop. This instantly makes five important things happen. You'll pick up great stuff at great prices. You'll help People of Progress's Food Bank and Resource Center stay open so we can serve 16,000 people this year with 240,000 meals, clothing, blankets, and community gardens. And you'll reuse and repurpose items which saves energy, natural resources, and space in the landfill. So check us out in person at the Pop Thrift Shop in downtown Reading and bring a friend to help you choose from literally thousands of high quality items. All proceeds stay local to help your local community. So shop Pop. We're open Monday through Saturday in downtown Reading. Our motto is do what you can with what you have where you are. With this community's help, we've served homeless and hungry people in Shasta County for 40 years. With your help, we can continue to do so. Buy a shirt, shop Pop.
Slow down. Welcome back to Positively Healthy, Dr. Trudy Pratt Show. And we're here with the Figueroas and John Moran talking about a life-giving gesture by Debbie Figueroa. And I guess how would we sum all this up as to you donated your kidney. John has life. Dr. Figueroa here pretty much supports the things that you do, Debbie. So how has your respective lives changed relative to knowing and working and being with each other? I introduced you as at the opening of the show as a very, very close family member. And my sense is that all of you are all very, very close. Can you tell us about that?
I can.
Well, hit it, John.
We went down to San Francisco. Mike drove us for the first transplant attempt, and that got shut down. But in the doing that, I got to spend lots of time with Mike, besides Debbie, who I got to talk to usually on a weekly basis. And getting to know him as a friend and a person instead of just Dr. Figueroa was really nice to spend that time and see who he was as a person and how generous he was and how he was actually a lot nicer than Debbie. I thought Debbie was nice, but Mike's a nicer guy. So, but just spending time with them, Debbie will help me with my 6-year-old, watching her for me so I can work and try to catch up on my business stuff. And her girls and my girl and my kids all together, like playing in her yard and playing on the swing, and it's just a lot of interaction. And it's nice. I mean, I have to remember they're my boss, but they're also my friends. So what they need to have done, I get done. But we spend time being friends and eating dinner and stuff. And it's really nice to have that closeness where if I need something, I can ask them, they can help me. Or mm-hmm. if they need to have me do something else, I can do that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If John doesn't get something done, we're taking the kidney back.
I like that.
Debbie, I'm going to ask you a final question relative to this. How do you feel now that it's all over, that you have done what you've done?
It's rewarding to see John be able to be the father he needs to be, you know.
She just wants her launch mode still.
Yeah. That was my goal. I was very upfront with the doctor that my goal was to make sure that John got a kidney. And the process was a long one. It took 9 months from beginning to end. From my first phone call till the day of surgery, it took 9 months. But while saying that, I want the audience to understand that for a donor, the process is actually very, very easy. Painless for me. I really had no pain whatsoever. I went back to my normal routine 4 days after surgery, including driving, picking up kids, grocery shopping. So I want, you know, people to understand and have an awareness that organ donation, living organ donation, is a really miraculous, easy thing to do.
No question.
And the thing is, it took a week out of my life.
That's all.
That's really about it.
You know, I want to say that as a result of knowing Debbie for the short time that I have and speaking with her about this, that she actually motivated me to talk to the Kidney Foundation in San Francisco, as I was willing to donate my kidney just simply by what I saw happen with John and Debbie. But the people in San Francisco said that my hair was too gray, so I didn't qualify. So in any event, I want to direct one of the final topics here back to Mike. I know, Mike, you have said that being in the medical profession, I mean, you're iconic in the area and probably goes beyond just California, but you are a highly regarded cancer doctor. And there's really two things that I'd like for you to tell us about. And one is how is it that you chose cancer? I know that you had said there was some miraculous events that led you into the cancer field. And the other, more closer to home here, is of some miraculous events that took place here at Mercy Hospital here in Reading. Could you wind up our show by telling us those two stories?
Well, now, I was one of the few students in very first day of medical school who knew what I was going to do. Some of my classmates asked me, you know, what do you think you're going to do? And I said, I'm going to be an oncologist. I'm going to be a cancer specialist. And they said, how could you possibly know, you know, now? We got 4 more years of training, and beyond that, we have more years. I mean, how can you even know what you want to do? But I knew, and I didn't share the story with them, but... When I was a kid, I was very, very close to my grandmother, very, very close. And she actually died of a disease called multiple myeloma, which is a cancer of the bone. And back in those days, this is 1969, there wasn't anything that was done for myeloma. The disease ate up her bones, and my mom and my aunts couldn't even turn her in bed because the bones would break, and she was just in terrible pain. It was a very small town, and there was a doctor that would come every day around 3 o'clock and give her a shot. And I was one of those kids that my aunt used to just tell me, you know, doctor's here, go sit in the corner and don't move, you know, behave. And so I would, and he'd come every day, and he would do that. And one day he comes in, he gives my grandmother a shot, and you can just hear her stop moaning, and she was, you know, it had some peace for a while. And you know, another one of those miracles. You know, only God knows why he did this. But on that day, he's walking out, and he stops, and he looks right at me, and he says, I wish I could do more. And he went out. And that was it.
That was it. You know.
You know.
What a story. Yeah. We're going to take our final break. And again, this is KCNR 1460 AM Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Hi, I'm Frank Galusha, your host for My Outdoor Buddy Radio from 6 to 7 Saturday mornings here at KCNR 1460 AM. Our show is packed with fishing, hunting, and outdoor news you can use. All brought to you by Shasta Tackle, Procure Sense, Phil's Propeller, Scott Valley Bank, Loop Rope, the all-new tie-down system, MyOutdoorBuddy.com, and many other fine sponsors. Tune in My Outdoor Buddy Radio every Saturday morning right here at 1460 AM for the latest fishing, hunting, and outdoor news.
Hi, this is Jerry from Jerry and Fred's Event Rentals. Listen to Bridal Talk every Sunday from 12 to 1 with Don and Robert, and visit us at jerryandfredseventrentals.com.
Slow down. Welcome back to our show. We're talking to the Figueroas and John Moran. And I wanted to ask Debbie, I've had the opportunity to learn a little bit more about Debbie, and she is a very, very compassionate, passionate lady. She is driven by giving, and so I wanted to just see if we could find the fundamental reason, Debbie, that you are so giving in your approach to things and people. What is it that really stimulates you and motivates you to want to reach out and touch people's lives?
In all honesty, I think it's an obligation to God to help others. God has been so good to me my entire life. I really have to use what God has given me to help others. You know, for me, there's just no question about it. When I see that there's a need, I can't keep my nose out of things. I have to help, you know?
So she keeps you running.
I get in trouble for it, too. Yeah. Believe me.
Good. I'm going to turn this back to Mike for our, one of our final questions. And Mike, if you could share with us the very, very motivating story that you recited to us at Mercy Hospital.
Well, you know, there's just so many. I personally believe that everything is a miracle. You know, when we just look at how, where Deb was born and raised, and where John was born and raised, and all the things that he did, and where I come in, and somehow we wind up in Redding, California, and there's a way to do a dialysis, there's a way to do a kidney. This is just a miracle in and of itself.
No question.
You know? And we see it every day. I truly have to say, on the oncology floor there at Mercy, if we really look and we have a kind, passionate heart, we see miracles every day. One that comes to mind is just an incredible story of this one gentleman who had a very, very tough life, and he'd been abused, and he had drugs and alcohol, and it was just awful, and now he's dying from a lymphoma, and he was only 35 years old thereabouts, and one day I see him in my office, and he's just tired and a little bit of a fever and not eating well. And I expected him to live for another year or two. I mean, he had a low grade lymphoma. He had plenty of time. But I said, let me put you in the hospital. Let me get you some antibiotics, some IV fluids. I'll transfuse you a couple of units of blood. And we'll just kind of, you know, prick you up here, you know, a couple of days. And he says, fine. You know, so I put him in the hospital. 3 or 4 hours later, I'm rounding in the hospital, and Father Brennan, the priest there at the hospital then, comes walking by. And I say, Father, I said, do me a favor. can you go visit this gentleman? And I kind of gave him the story of what was going on in his life, and Father says, fine. So he goes and visits the patient, and I keep rounding on other patients, and it must have been maybe, you know, a couple hours later, I'm thinking Father has already visited the patient and left, and I just, you know, missed him. Well, he comes walking out of the room, you know, and Father, I mean, then he was 80-some years old, and he's like skipping and has his grin from ear to ear, and he says, I have to tell you, I said, this gentleman just, we had the best conversation, the best visit. I mean, he sat down and he confessed all his sins and he received God into his heart, and it was just the most wonderful thing I have ever experienced in all my years of being a priest. It's just fantastic, you know. And he just then kept walking off. And I turned to my left, and the nurse comes in and she says, Dr. Figueroa, patient just passed away. I said, what do you mean he passed away? There's no way. And she says, I know what a patient who's passed away looks like, and you know, he's passed away. And I said, you got to be mistaken. We're talking about the right guy. She says, yes, I'm, you know. And I run over to the room, and he had passed away. I mean, and if that's not just a miracle. I mean, here's this guy. I mean, he's literally, I couldn't describe what a hard life he had, and how bitter and how angry and he probably had reasons to feel that way about the world, and maybe even about God. But in, you know, one conversation, and at the most perfect time to pass away, he passes away. It's just awesome. And things like this happen, you know, all the time to us.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you, Doctor, for sharing that story with us. John, could you give us a send-off here as to how you would kind of summarize your life and what the future looks like for you in terms of the things that you've experienced with the Figueroas?
I've learned a lot of things. It's been a few years of deep lessons from the School of Hard Knocks. What I realized, Chuck Swindoll, he's a radio guy, radio pastor, he said a long time ago that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% what you do with it. And that's what I kind of realized in the whole thing. Life is about giving, not just taking. And if you're a taker, you don't have the fulfillment or the joy of living life. It's in giving and sharing with other people's and their needs. So what I realized is we don't always have a choice of what happens to us in this life. But we do have a choice of how we deal with it. And even though, you know, for the first 4 months on dialysis, I just wanted to give up and just die, I chose to get a goal, and I climbed Mount Whitney that year of 07, and I 22-mile hike in one day. And that was a goal that I wanted to do, and my brother and I did it. And having a goal brought me out of my depression, and learning to give back to people who are having needs. I wasn't a very good father, wasn't a very good husband all these years. I was married for 20 years, and I learned in the last few years that be the man, you know, be a better husband, be a better dad. My kids appreciate me a lot more now. I spend time with them instead of being gone at work all the time. Just sharing and looking for needs and filling those needs wherever you can.
Good for you.
I also wanted to mention real quick that I don't have Debbie's kidney. By different ways, we both came to the same conclusion that it wouldn't be the best thing for me to have her kidney, because she's like 4'10 and I'm like 6'3 or something. So, well, maybe not 4'10, but she's somewhere around there. And so we actually did a paired transplant where she gave her kidney to somebody who needed a kidney that didn't have a match, and that person's donor didn't match that guy, so I got his kidney. So we were the first matching kidney pair that she gave her kidney to somebody else, and I got the other person's kidney. So we have friends here in town that they need a kidney too, and people wanted to give him their kidney, but because that person's not going to get their kidney individually, they don't want to give. Mm-hmm. So if you can have a matched kidney and give to somebody else, so you can get, if you can do a swap pair, it's a lot better, and people can give without giving to a person that may have that need.
Even though it was a pairing donation, the fact still fundamentally gets down to the fact that Debbie gave
Oh, definitely.
Something of herself to you and somebody else. Thank you very much for joining us next week. Again, Positively Healthy with Dr. Trudy Pratt. I want to thank all of our station engineers and sponsors, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire.